It is good to be with you. Very thankful for the invitation. And we're going to be looking into a tremendous passage of the Word of God in the book of Luke. But before we do that, I want to share just a few words of thanksgiving. I'm thankful that my wife arrived well yesterday in Guatemala City and is beginning with her team of two ophthalmologists and a few others to help poor Guatemalans get restored vision and hear the gospel. And some of these with cataracts are basically blind, but because of the work that's done, they can see. And it's amazing what's done. She went many years to nine different times to China doing this, and in the last few years, many times to Guatemala and Peru. And so that's why, as Pastor Paul mentioned, she's not here. But I did bring someone special, and that's Stephen, seated next to me. He's going to be reading the scripture in just a few minutes. He came to know the Lord in August of 2015. And I met him in July of 2016 when he was working at the Teen Challenge thrift store. And just, I was there just looking at things, and he met him, and he shared just a bit of his testimony. And I'll tell you, that sparked the start of a wonderful relationship. We've spent quite a bit of time together in this last year, and God has done an amazing work and is doing in the life of Stephen. Out of a very, very rough background, much time homeless and on the streets and addicted, but transformed by the Lord. Remarkably, and just a week ago Friday, got married in a beautiful, beautiful wedding, and his wife isn't here because they are going to a 1 o'clock service in Springfield. So we'll be going back, and they'll be going to that service. But hopefully, you'll meet her, and if sometime your men's group or something, you'd like to hear an amazing testimony and learn about life as I have through Stephen, invite Stephen to come share with you. But I'm thankful for this church. I think it was 30 years ago. We'd been missionaries to Brazil for a number of years already, but 30 years ago in 86, we were invited and we spoke, and I believe that was when Pleasant Hill became one of our supporting churches. And you prayed for us, you helped support us in our work in Brazil, and then in 94, when we transferred to Ethnic Latino Ministry, you continued, and just various times coming here, I just have always had the impression it's not just named Pleasant Hill, it's just a pleasant place to come to, and I'm thankful for you and for this church, and I'm thankful for your pastor. We've gotten acquainted in the last couple of years, had lunch together a couple times with Sarah and Elizabeth down at the annual meetings in Seaside. We have met for coffee a few times, but probably most of our time has been going to Emerald Association meetings, and really have grown to appreciate him, love him, and I'm thankful he's your pastor. You know, the last time I was here was in early June when he was installed, and that was a beautiful service, and I believe God's going to do beautiful things, as he's doing even this morning. I really do. Thank you, Paul, for accepting the call and being available. I tuned in last night to the message that he preached last Sunday on Acts 6. How many of you were here? Really good message and well recorded. Interesting, Mike and Jan are here. Will you stand, Mike and Jan? Mike and Jan were many, many years pastor and wife of Berean Baptist. But years ago, Mike had Dr. Rodmacher speak, and when I heard Paul's message on Acts 6, 1-7, I thought of Dr. Rodmacher's message. Dr. Rodmacher had kind of 3 points in his outline. Acts 6, 1 is the problem that could have really led to division and so forth. Of the care of the widows. But then Dr. Rod Martin moves us to verse 7, the product. And the product was beautiful. the word was spreading, the increase in number of followers. And so he said, what was the process that took this problem and resulted in such a beautiful product? And basically what your pastor last week did was what Dr. Rodmark also did, looking at the process of how you deal with a problem and it results in growth. And Pastor Paul talked about the need to listen, and we need to act, and we need to include, and we need to energize. And thank you, Paul, for that message. I want to say, too, I'm thankful for our association. Besides Paul, Mike is often with us. 11 churches in this last year, three have new pastors in Oak Ridge and Veneta and here, and that's a victory. We have just one of our 11 churches that doesn't have a pastor, a lead pastor right now. Which one is that? Emmanuel, and we need to be praying for that. We have some wonderful camps. Of course, Harlow is a big one ongoing. Today, we're praying for River Road Baptist, but River Road has their youth camp starting out at Triangle Lake. But it's not just River Road. It's Berean Baptist involved and Riviera Baptist, and the main speaker comes from First Baptist, but they're ministering to a lot of youth out there at Triangle Lake, including two of my grandsons. So I appreciate your prayers for that camp at Triangle Lake. And then Stephen just let me know that Twin Rivers tonight is starting a hoop camp for K through fifth grade. And again, it's just great how in our association, special things are being done to reach the lost. Our association is mission-minded. We're supporting and praying for sending missionaries to various parts of the world. We have short-term missionaries and people going out. Mike and Jan have been various times to Malaysia and other parts of the world. My wife is in Guatemala. We're not just concerned of those out there. We have, as Pastor Paul mentioned, a very fine Hispanic ministry at River Road. We have another very fine Hispanic ministry at Mike and Jan's old church in Berean. And we have another fine one up at First Baptist in Junction City. And if any of you know Hispanics who need a Spanish-speaking ministry, any one of those are good ones to encourage them to attend. And if I can be of any help in that connection, please let me know. Our churches are on a mission field. We often think the missions is out there across the seas, across the borders. Friends, it's just across the street or across the fence in many cases. America is a mission field, increasingly multicultural, filled with lost people, secular thinking, and you all are called to be missionaries. You might say, I never volunteered, but you're on the mission field. And this church should see itself as an outpost on a mission station, equipping and sending, because we have a tremendous task before us. And it's my prayer that the message this morning will help us better reach our world for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this worship service. It's just been special so far. Thank you for the scriptures we've read and the songs we've sung. The privilege we have now to look into your word, we pray that you will prepare our hearts and help us to hear from you. We thank you, Father, for each of our churches in this association, and pray your blessing on them, on Emmanuel, as they still need a lead pastor, that you will soon send them one. We pray for the camps going on and the ones starting this afternoon at Triangle Lake and at Twin Rivers. Oh, Father, minister through the speakers and the counselors and bring many young people and children to saving faith in Christ. Thank you, Father, for my wife's ministry. Bless her and the team there in Guatemala. Thank you for what you've done in Stephen's life. Continue your remarkable work in his life. Thank you, Father, for bringing Paul to this church and bless him as he leads this body. And Father, we just pray now as we look into your word that you will help us to see and learn and grow as a result. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Stephen to read the scripture. It's mentioned in your bulletin. It's Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 26. Why don't we stand and be led in the reading by Stephen.
Starting in chapter 5, verse 15 to 26. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew himself to lonely places and prayed. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some people came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, Stephen. And that's the message title, "To See Remarkable Things Today." Let's observe and try to understand better this text and applications for our lives today. In verse 15, the news about him was spreading, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed. And I just want to encourage you, as we begin this message, that you be here to hear him. It's his word that we're studying. I just want to be an instrument that he uses, but I want you to be hearing from him. Next one, 16 says, Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. What an example. And I'd like to encourage you just to take a moment now and prepare your heart even more to hear him, what he has to say to you today. If there's any distraction going on in your mind and heart right now, any sin or something that needs to be confessed and put off, do that, that we can really hear from him today. Be in a spirit of prayer for me and for yourself and for one another. But we read in verse 17 that Jesus was teaching and people were gathering and the Lord was present with him to heal. And then we come to 18 and 19, and these are really the verses I'm going to focus on in this message. Let me read them again. I'm using the New American Standard Bible. Luke 5:18 says, "And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus." It says some men. We don't know their names. We don't know who they are. We do know how many. It's not mentioned in Luke, but the same story is told by Matthew and also by Mark. And Mark mentioned it was four men. So we have four men, and I want us to consider four characteristics of these men who brought the paralytic to Jesus. One thing that characterized them was concern. They had a friend or an acquaintance in great need. They weren't indifferent. They weren't uncaring. They were concerned, even to the point of compassion and action. They cooperated. The second characteristic that I think is important here, they did together what none of them could have done alone, carrying this man on his bed, bringing him to Jesus. They worked together, cooperating. A third thing that I think is very important is they were creative. They couldn't bring him in because of the crowds by the main door. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They found a creative solution, going up on the roof, somehow opening up the roof, letting this man down in front of Jesus. So creativity was another characteristic of these men. And the fourth characteristic was confidence. They were confident, they had faith that this paralyzed man needed to get to Jesus, that Jesus could heal him, that Jesus could help him. So concern and cooperation and creativity and confidence. We read in verse 20, seeing their faith, he, Jesus, said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith, the faith of the four men, and we understand also including the paralyzed man. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. He didn't immediately heal his physical need. He first forgave his sins. And then verse 21, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasoning, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? By the way, they were thinking these thoughts, they were reasoning these things, not verbally, but Jesus knew what they were thinking. And Jesus knows exactly what we're thinking right now. Jesus, aware of their reasoning, said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? And then verse 23, he asked, which is easier, to say your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? Now, either statement is, I guess, equally easy to say, just verbalize those words. But it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because how would someone prove whether you have said the truth or not? But if you say, get up and walk, and the person doesn't get up and walk, you've been proven to not have that authority. And so in verse 24, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Immediately, he, the paralyzed man, got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. And they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. It's a wonderful story. It's a true story. God did remarkable things in that situation, and the Bible is filled with the remarkable things that he did. He continues to do them. Right today, many, many, many around the world are coming to faith in Christ, are being saved, are being born again into the family of God. Many are being baptized. Many lives are being transformed. Marriages are being restored. Addicts are being delivered. Churches are being planted. Missionaries are being sent. Remarkable things are happening. Most of them we don't know about. We don't hear about. Many of them are happening in other parts of the world. But God continues to do amazing things. But to see and hear of more remarkable things right here, I want us to think of the applications of Luke 5, especially related to Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. How many of you would like to see God use you and this church to help many come to faith in Christ, be baptized, grow as mature disciples of Jesus? Many. Regular use of your baptistry, regular rejoicing, another person has come into the family of God. Yes, we'd love to see it. We want to see God do remarkable things in reaching more young families for Christ, in growing the children's ministry, in growing the youth ministry of this church, in growing the outreach ministry of the church. And He is able. We want to see Him transform the lives of more people, like He did for the paralytic, like He is doing for my friend Stephen. Remarkable things. We'd love to see Him send out more people from Pleasant Hill Baptist to serve Him locally and globally. More people responding, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." And to see more of these remarkable things, I believe that we should have in increasing measure the four characteristics of these four men who brought the paralytic to Jesus. And let's look at those once again. The first was concern, and that God would fill us with increasing concern for needs around us, for people around us that need Him, for ministries that need help, and fill us with compassion regarding those things. I want to share a story that just looked online. It was written by Lane Dennis, president of Good News Tracts, but it's really good. Let me share it with you. What do you see? What do we see when we look out of our window, when we go to the grocery store, when we walk through the streets of our town? I hope I will never see things quite the same after reading a story recently about D.L. Moody. Let me share this story with you. D.L. Moody, America's foremost evangelist during the 19th century, also preached the gospel powerfully in London and other cities in Great Britain 120 years ago. And this was written back in 96. Some clergymen who were jealous of this uneducated Yankee wanted to know his secret. So they knocked on the door of his hotel room, the story is told, and greeted him by saying, "Mr. Moody, we would like to have a word with you. You come here to London, you have a sixth grade education, you speak horrible English, your sermons are terribly simple, and yet thousands of people are converted. We want to know, how do you do it?" Moody invited his guests into his room and walked over to the window. "Tell me," he said, "what do you see?" One gentleman looked out and said, "I see a park and some children playing." "Anything else?" Moody asked. Another man said, "I see about the same thing, except there is an older couple walking hand in hand enjoying the evening." A third clergyman added that he saw a young couple, and then he asked, "Mr. Moody, what do you see?" As Moody stood there staring out the window, tears began to roll down his cheeks onto his gray beard. "Mr. Moody, what are you looking at?" one of his curious guests asked. "What do you see?" "When I look out the window, I see countless thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they do not find the Savior," Moody said. And that was his secret. Moody had compassion for those who did not know Jesus Christ. And that compassion governed his life. He gave his life over to evangelism to rescue people from hell. And do we see the people around us like Moody did, moved with compassion for the lost? I'm reminded of the passage in Matthew 9 where we read, "When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.'" So one of the characteristics of these men that we need to have in increasing measure is concern, compassion. Another is that we learn to cooperate better working together. Let me ask, which of the four men should get credit for bringing this paralytic to Jesus? They worked together. It was teamwork. And the importance of that today is so crucial that we learn not just to try to be a solo worker, but that we realize the power, the value of bringing others alongside us or coming alongside others and cooperating to accomplish tasks. The book of the Old Testament that has powerfully influenced my life, my ministry in Brazil and since, is the book of Nehemiah. And of course, Nehemiah faced a tremendous need and was used of the Lord in a short amount of time to see the walls rebuilt for the glory of God. One of the keys of Nehemiah was he didn't try to do it alone. He mobilized, got many people participating, working side by side in this rebuilding project. And a great work was done. Cooperation is so important. If we want to see the needs met, people reached, growth of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church that God wants to see. I think one of the amazing works in our community is the One Hope Ministry that's led by Steve Buss, but many of our churches in this area are cooperating together to show and share Jesus' love in a united way. And just the month of August, special projects are going on to do that. I hope Pleasant Hill is involved. Is there a representative here that would be active in the One Hope Ministry? I hope so. The third factor that we can develop in increasing measure is creativity. Learning to find ways to get it accomplished, even if we originally or have faced a hard wall, that we don't give up, that we find a way to bring people to Jesus. Earlier in Luke 5, we've got the story of Jesus sending them out to fish, and the comment was, "Yeah, but we fished all night and we've caught nothing." But then they caught a multitude. And maybe you feel, I've been trying to reach my neighbor. I've been trying to reach my loved one. I've been trying to reach my son. And it just isn't effective. And you kind of have given up. Let's be creative. I like what Livingston said. A missionary society once wrote David Livingston in South Africa, "Have you found a good road to where you are? We want to know how to send some men to join you." And he wrote back, "If you have men who will come only if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road." And God will develop in us a spirit of creativity, looking to Him for ways to reach and build and send that are beyond us, but not beyond Him. I brought a book. It's an old one, Unleashing the Church. I'm going to leave it with Paul. And I wrote a note, Paul, if you just read the first 20 verses, you'll be inspired. But this is a pastor in Denver who had just a downtown church that began to do amazing things, creative things, sending people out to develop ministries, to create teams, to do special things to reach around the city. An amazing story. Unleashing the Church. It's getting people out of the fortress and into the ministry. The church ministry in the world is what Frank Tillipaw calls the church unleashed. He says any church that can have a vital ministry in the community without expanding its fortress. The fortress is this building. The secret is unleashing its people so they utilize the gifts of the Holy Spirit within themselves. And when this happens, the church extends its focus of concern away from itself, and the members are free to reach beyond the fortress walls to where hurt and needs are in the community. I think you'll enjoy this, Paul, and maybe share it with someone else. Have any of you read that book? I think it's good. Finally, that God will increase our confidence in Him, that He has the answer, that Christ is the Savior, the healer, the reconciler, the one who can help us and others. Hopefully all of you here know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't, we encourage you to talk with us. Talk with Paul. Talk with my friend Stephen. Talk with me. Talk with the person that's beside you, because God loves you. Christ died for you. He wants you to experience forgiveness and salvation. He wants to do a remarkable thing in your life, and please let Him do that. But I encourage us all to reflect on this story and on these four characteristics. I believe they can make a huge difference in our lives and the ministry and the growth of the church. Can help you with challenges, needs that you're facing. Let me ask you to think, is there some particular concern that's really burdening you for a person or a family member or a ministry? Try to get others to pray with you and cooperate with you regarding this concern. Be creative and be confident. Besides reflecting, pray about these things. Pray for help. Pray maybe for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me that I have too easily given up. Help me to be creative. Fill me with confidence that You can resolve these needs. Share them with others. I really think these four points are things that are transferable concepts that even maybe today around your table or in an email you might share with someone else. It'll be a blessing to them, and you will grow more if you try to share them. And then celebrate. I love these last two verses. Immediately he got up before them. He picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were all filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." Jesus did remarkable things in the life of the paralytic, in the life of those who brought him to Jesus. There was celebration. One of the ministries I'm quite involved in is with international students. This has been a tremendous year at the University of Oregon campus. More than 3,000 international students from about 100 different countries. And with luncheons and various ministries, tremendous things have taken place. We ended the year with a celebration dinner for those of us involved in the Wednesday luncheon. It's at the AO House on campus. And Paul Harriet, who is the pastor of international students from First Baptist, led us, and just reviewing the victories of the year, the many internationals who had come to the luncheon and the interaction that took place there. About 30 different countries of the world were represented in the luncheons this year at the AO House. Testimonies of internationals who came to know Christ, including Japanese, who are hard to reach. And I'll tell you, it's wonderful to celebrate what God is doing. And as we work together increasingly with concern and with cooperation and with what else? What's number three? Creativity. And with four? Confidence. And we see God do remarkable things. Let's celebrate them. And may this, your life and this church, be filled with more and more celebration and joy as you work together with God and watch Him do remarkable things for His glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do praise You. We praise You for the remarkable things You're doing around the world, even at this moment, in the lives of so many, bringing them from darkness into light, transforming people from habits of sin and bringing them into a whole new life with You, transforming marriages and building up churches and doing so many things. Father, we know it's happening. We thank You for just what You're doing here at this church. I'm sure many could right to the moment stand and share remarkable things that You're doing in their lives. But Father, we just thank You. And we want to see more and more of You being glorified, of You working and You using us as we work with concern and creativity and confidence in You, and as we cooperate together. Father, may You continue to bless each person here, each family, each ministry they're involved in. May You grow this church in this community for Your glory. We pray with thanksgiving, with hope, with faith. In Jesus' name, amen.